And the music there of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up, means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 553 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. We have a temperature reading of 69 degrees, bright sunshine here in central Minnesota. We have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in and say good morning to Tom Merton. Tom, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Nice sunny day.
Absolutely. And you're sounding great. Got the levels all correct here, so everything looks good. Boy, Tom, we go back a long ways, huh?
Yeah, quite a bit. Great school.
Yes, you bet. Grew up in St. Joe, Minnesota. For the folks that don't know who you are, why don't you give them a little fill-in of where you were born and raised and who Mom and Dad were and a little bit about the family.
Well, born and raised in St. Joe, Minnesota, just like you. And my mom and dad, my dad was Lawrence Merton and my mom was a Danzel. And unfortunately, my dad passed away when I was 11 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you learn life as you travel down the road, and some of the turns around the corners you have no control about, and you learn to live life pretty well. Interesting thing, musically wise, is my dad, our grade school band was when we started up. That was the first year that we had a grade school band in 1963.
Yeah.
And my dad took me up to pick out the instrument I was going to play.
Oh, really?
And unfortunately, he passed away before I even had my first lesson. Heard me play.
Never heard you play. Okay.
Never heard me play. But many times when I'm playing my horn, I'd be thinking about him.
I'll bet you were. And
as a tribute.
Yeah. What was it, a heart attack or something, sudden like?
Yeah, it was, and there was no 911 back in those days.
Yeah.
Actually, the fire department come out with something called a resuscitator, but that didn't do any good, and he passed away.
Oh. And at 11 years old, do you still remember him well? Did you remember memories with him and that?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, it's kind of seared my brain. We spent the evening together before he died. We were watching some movies on TV, and we had probably a late night snack or something, and then all of a sudden in the middle of the night, as a kid I heard all kinds of commotion going on downstairs, and all of a sudden my sisters were crying, and I knew what had happened, and
there
we just had to deal with it.
It doesn't make life any easier, but sometimes I wouldn't say there's advantages, but it's just a different way of life. And I know you did really well growing up. Like you said, we got into band in school there, and we played some football. And you had some other bad luck when we were playing football. I remember that day well, too.
Yeah, we had a game. Our grade school team was supposed to play. We played against a bunch of the St. Cloud teams, St. Augustine or something like that.
St. Augustine, St. Mary's, yeah.
We had a game that got canceled, so we're playing with each other.
Yeah, scrimmage.
And a guy by the name of Charlie Johnson, he was a little younger than me, but he was a really big dude.
Yeah.
I'm running down the sideline, and he tackles me. And I had kind of made a cut in from the sideline to avoid a little kid on the field. And as soon as I did that, he hit me, and I heard my femur snap right in the middle there.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I do remember that. That was the bone actually protruding through the skin, or it was a
No, it wasn't, but I think they called it a compound fracture. It had cracked on such an angle or something.
Yeah.
I was in traction for about a month.
Okay.
And I can't remember quite what year that would have been, but
Yeah, that was either our 7th or 8th grade year in grade school.
Now that you mentioned, I think it was 8th grade.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I had a tutor, by the time I got back to actually going to school, I was ahead of everybody.
Okay. Well, you were.
I was going to school an hour a day with this, you know, a nice lady. I can't remember what her name was.
Oh, yeah.
But she'd come to the hospital every day and give me some assignments and come back the next day and check them. And, yeah, so.
Well, as I can recall.
Amazing what one-on-one can do with a guy. You know?
Yeah, as I recall, it really advanced you with trumpet, with music, because like you had mentioned, we had a band program that got started up there. I think we were in, what, 4th or 5th grade when we had the program started?
We were going into sixth grade. The summer after our 5th grade and the summer going into 6th.
Yeah.
Of course, I remember that so well because it was right around the time my dad died.
Yep. But, boy, with the broken leg, there wasn't a lot you could do. And so you really excelled at playing trumpet. You did a lot of practicing, huh?
I don't know if I played a lot then or not. You know, I mean, I laid in bed a lot and I had my siblings on my beck and call. I was in a hip cast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so I laid in bed a lot, and I took advantage of it. They gave me a bell to ring if I needed something.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, at one point, I grabbed the bell to ring it, and somebody took the dinger out.
They thought, we'll fix you, huh?
Yeah. That's enough of that, you know. You know, it was probably time for me to start, you know, doing things for myself. You know,
sure.
Giving me a strong message.
You bet. How many siblings did you have, Tom?
Let's see. There was 6 of us, I believe.
6.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although my mom had a daughter that died at age 2 of pneumonia. She had been older than me.
Okay.
But anytime we went to the St. Joe Cemetery, we always went and visited her.
Sure.
Gravesite too.
Okay. So I remember it was Charlotte and Lorene, I think?
Yeah. Actually, it was Carlotta. We called her Lottie.
Okay.
And Lorene.
Okay.
And, then it was me.
Yep.
And then that's my sister Mary, and then Jim and Rick.
Oh, yes.
6, I think.
Very good. Very good, yes. And so we graduated from the lab school there, 8th grade, and then we went on to Cathedral. And we played in the band over there together under the direction of Phil Welters. And he was a great, great director. He was a great person.
Yeah, right. You know, it takes a good teacher like that. And actually, well, even in elementary school, Bruce Peterson, was it Peter? What was his last
Pearson,
name?
Bruce Pearson.
Pearson.
Yep.
Yeah. He got us off on the right track.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then
we were lucky to have Phil Walters too, he made sure you were playing and doing your best.
You bet. Yeah. And of course that was in my junior year, our junior year, when my dad bought the meat market, and I thought I was going to get on this work program over at Tech. So that's when I left Cathedral, and so we had played together 2 years there. And then I finished out the last 2 years at Tech. And but then we got to see each other after high school there because Betty Wolf came calling on you and called on me and wanted us to play trumpet. And
right.
Yeah, that was some fun times. It didn't last real long for us. Probably, I don't know, we probably played together off and on for about a year or so.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You know, some of it blurs, you know, it's been a few years.
Yeah. Yeah, and they run together, but yeah, we had the chance to record together with Tony and Betty and the Deutschmeisters, and
we
did a few band trips. Were you along? I know I got asked to go to Wisconsin on a weekend trip. I can't remember if you were along in that one too.
Well, I think we did a couple of weekend trips to Wisconsin. Was it the one I'm remembering? We played at some brewery.
Okay.
Does that one ring a bell to you?
No, I remember that we played at, I think it was Schmidt's Ballroom in Wausau, Wisconsin, And all the way out, Betty was reminding us that the drinking law was 18 in Wisconsin, so we were like 19. And so you boys can have beer now, but not too many. And so, yeah, that was a kind of a novelty thing for us that we could be of age all of a sudden for a weekend. So.
Yeah. That was us, too.
Yeah, yeah. And we had some other great times there playing with over the years. I know you got to play with my brother, Paul. Paul became a trumpet player, and while you were playing for the Deutschmeisters, Betty called Paul and asked him to play second. And yep. So you guys did some work together. You played with Dan Rassier. So you worked with some great trumpet players there from the local area.
Yeah, we really did. I really enjoyed Paul, getting to know Paul. He was kind of an all-around musician, and I understand he's still playing.
Yeah.
But the last time when we just recently moved up towards the area here a little bit closer, and took the opportunity to stop in at the meat market and buy some of that great meat from the Angel Meat Market there. And I see Paul on the other side of the counter, but... he threw me because he was wearing a jacket that said Frank.
Oh, okay.
He looks at me, and I look at him, and he gets my name. And I go, then I was like, Paul, you know.
Yeah, just came to you.
He had stunned me, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for 15 years or more, something like that, or maybe even longer. And he's, you know, got somebody else's jacket on.
You bet.
But yeah, we chatted a little bit that night. We were going to see some relatives there in St. Joe, but it was really fun to reconnect. And as a matter of fact, I just took out the last package of sausage. Got it on the counter right now, thawing it out. I'm going to make some tonight, I think.
Oh, very good.
But Paul was always fun to play in. And I still haven't. I got the address of his band, and I'm hoping to come out and see them play sometime.
Sure, sure. Well, Tom, we're coming up on 12 o'clock here. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. So I'll do that right now, and then come back to you if that's all right.
Sounds great.
All right, Cy, we're here with greetings from the St. Joe Meat Market. The brat of the week this week is a good one. It's our smoked cheesy potato brats. The smoked cheesy potato brats, a unique flavor that has you coming back for seconds and thirds. It starts with a nice blend of lean pork and beef seasoned with our German-style seasoning and generous amounts of real potatoes and cheddar cheese. It's a great brat in the frying pan, in the oven, or off the grill in a bun. This week, come in, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long, unlimited quantities. Hosting and serving out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market on Friday and Saturday this weekend will be the Sons of the Legion. Come out and show your support for a great organization. They are really a great group. The St. Joe Meat Market has a lot of flavored brats for you to try. Some of the newest flavors are the Badger brats, the Wisconsin-style brats, the black and blue brats with real blue cheese added, and the fresh artichoke and spinach with feta cheese brats, feta cheese added to the brat. All of them are very good. Give them a try. See which one is your favorite. As always, for more in-store specials at the St. Joe Meat Market, like us on Facebook, look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can always call 320-363-4913 for more information. And we thank you, Tom, for being our guest on the show. And you've been here before. Know a little bit how it works. So we've got a nice meat package put up at the meat market for you, and we're going to get that to you within the next week and hope that you and your wife and those around you enjoy it good health. How's that for you?
Wow, that sounds really great. That commercial you just did made me hungry already.
So. Well, I have to make sure you get a package of those cheesy potato ones. They're fantastic.
Super.
All righty. Well, back in the days then, so you... graduated from Cathedral. Did you go on to college then, Tom?
I did, yeah. I majored in music. I didn't eventually use it much in my career, but I went to St. Cloud State College. And when you get to the college level, all of a sudden, you know, I was a first trumpet player. I battled with another guy, Joel Patch.
Yes, I remember those days.
But I graduated as the... We kind of would challenge each other back and forth in high school, and he'd beat me, and then I'd beat him back, and I graduated being the top guy. But when you get to college, there's almost everybody there was a, you know, first trumpet player, so you But so you know, it's a lot of talent, and but met a lot of good friends there too. And
sure,
we had some pretty good bands that we, you know, enjoyed and had several good concerts. And you know, you just your skills always, as long as you're playing and practicing, you improve.
You're going forward. Yep.
I have to say, in college, the Deutschmeister band playing, we'd play on every Friday, Saturday, and probably every other, like twice a month on Sundays.
Yeah.
And there was a period of time in college where I had my private lesson with Al Moore, the trumpet teacher there.
Mm-hmm.
My lesson was on Mondays, and he'd ask me why I was playing so crappy, and I said, I just got done playing all weekend long and my lips shot.
Yeah.
So we eventually changed my lesson to a different day of the week
because,
you know, I'd be so wore out by Monday that I wasn't, you know, I struggled.
You bet. You bet. Well, you're bringing us to a good point there, and that's what we wanted to remember Betty Wolfe, because Betty's death anniversary was just on Friday, the 23rd, back in 2008 is when Betty left us. And how did it come about that you came? Did she call you, or did Tony call you, or how did you ever come to being with the Deutschmeisters?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about that today. Now, you had a connection longer before me because your dad played with them, too, you know?
Right.
But my connection was their daughter, Lola Wolfe, who was the organist at the church in town.
Oh, yes.
And I had played my trumpet at church several times.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I don't recall the specific call. I bet it was Betty,
mm-hmm,
who would have done the calling. And she basically just said, you know, Lola, we need somebody to play. And Lola had said that, you know, you were probably would be a good fit. And it was probably the next weekend or so they took me along and gave me a tryout. And I was playing the second part. And I'm trying to think, Wagner, I can't think of his first name.
John Wagner.
Was it John? Okay, I got a question mark behind his name. I wrote a few names down, but yeah, he was the lead trumpet player there, and he was giving me the tips and, you know, how to play the waltzes with a, you know, kind of a staccato on the second beat. And,
sure.
And just, I was having a blast.
Yeah.
And eventually John left and got to play with many other people, you know.
So, yeah. Yeah, and those were fun times. And Betty was really a neat person. I mean, she had more of a flamboyant personality. I mean, she could really sing the German and everything. But
oh, yeah.
But she really was, I mean, I took lessons, concertina lessons from her for 5 years, every Tuesday for an hour in her little office there. And so I really got to know her. And I thought she was really good for the young people, myself included, as she groomed us to be musicians down the road. She was so good for so many people.
Right. I actually consider her like a second mom.
Yeah.
When I was going through a divorce and everything, she let me even stay at their home. This was after Tony had passed away.
Okay.
It was kind of funny. She always would tell me that some of her lady friends thought it was a little scandalous that she had this young buck staying at her house.
Oh yeah, the gossip that will fly.
I was thinking, boy, I mean, did she have the groupies? You know, boy,
yep.
I mean, there were a lot of these, you know, older people that followed the band, you know.
And right.
She was a big reason why people loved the Deutschmeisters.
Absolutely.
Because of her personality.
Yeah.
And they would have kind of been a little jealous of me, but I didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
She was just that nice.
Did you get to start when Tony was still living yet then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I played with Tony many, many years.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And I actually, you know, there was one point where I took a break because of I had a job elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I came back to the area, so I off and on, I'd say over about a, I played with the band for over 20 years.
Probably. Oh, really? Wow.
Not every year straight. There was maybe a 5-6 year break in between there.
Okay. And then when Tony died, Betty wasn't ready to fold it up or anything like that. And so quite a few different concertina players tried out or tried to fill that spot. And then finally she ran into John Bierman. Did you get to play with John too then?
Several years.
You did.
Years. I got to know John pretty well.
Yeah.
And for a while there, it was like Butch and Arnie would play in there. Every once in a while. And then John a couple of times, and then pretty soon John was pretty regular.
Yeah.
And I don't recall, how long, even when I was staying at Betty's, I can't remember if, I don't think they were married yet.
No.
Her and John at that point.
No. And when I visited her in the nursing home, actually the John Paul Apartments, John had moved over there and Betty was there. And she told me the story how Tony came to her in a dream because she was struggling to find a concertina player. And he said, get John, because John and his first wife, Lorraine, and Tony and Betty used to double date way back in the days before they formed the band. And John was a concertina player, so 3 out of the 4 played music. And so they had a lot in common there. Well, John lost his wife, Lorraine, to cancer. And then Tony died in 1980 with cancer. And supposedly, Betty said that Tony said, get John, he'll help you. And so she called him up and said, would you play? And he says, well, I can give it a try. And 19 years later, they were married just about 20 years. And they had a good run there, a second run at playing with the Deutschmeisters there, John and Betty.
Yeah. He was a good fit and a great guy.
Yeah.
He gave me a little bit of advice every once in a while, you know.
Sure.
As a young man, we can always look up to somebody, you know, who's
true.
Got a little bit more time here.
You bet. So as you look back over the years with the Deutschmeisters, you remember a lot of the songs, favorites that you like to play, or was there any that kind of kicked your butt and you said, oh, not that one?
Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know. The record that you and I recorded, we recorded one called Tommy's Polka.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I was trying to. I couldn't even tell you how it goes right now. I'd have to listen to it before I could,
pull
it out and try to play it or something.
Sure.
But it was originally, I think it was like a mazurka number 6 or something like that.
Okay.
And for some reason, middle of the night or whatever, there was like, Betty would go like, well, what should we play now? And I'd say, let's do that mazurka, And so eventually, when we made the record, she called that one Tommy's Polka.
Oh, yeah.
But I always loved, the St. Paul Waltz.
Yeah.
And the Beer Barrel Polka, not Beer Barrel, In Heaven There's No Beer. We always
right.
had a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah.
I'd make a little bit kind of a German replies in between. And anytime you could do the old, kind of a little holler in between.
Yeah, the calls, yeah.
Those were kind of fun.
You bet.
And, we took turns. It was fun to be able to even do some singing on occasional.
Yeah.
Mike Janey did a bunch of vocals when he was there playing with us.
And, yep.
And sometimes I wrote the words that we played, too. I think we recorded it to do the Birdie song.
Oh, yeah, Dance Little Bird, yep.
Yeah, and yep. I actually wrote some lyrics for that.
Okay.
There was a couple, I won't mention names, but some people down-talked, that I played, playing in a polka band,
yep.
that kind of thing. But, I have a lot of cherished memories about it.
Absolutely, and myself too. And I think we're all the same. We go through those periods. So I was a pretty good concertina player back when I was 8th grade there, and I was so afraid of peer pressure. I was afraid what my friends were going to think of me if I played concertina. And so I kind of let it slide back then, and that's the worst thing you can do. You don't ever want to give up. You know, you take guys like Andy Stangler and like Butch and Arnie. Those guys just continued to play right through that, and they kept on to be wonderful concertina players. And but the fact that I had that experience always came back to me. So it was a little bit like riding a bicycle. You just start practicing or get back on the bike and paddling, and it comes back to you. So I'm so grateful of all the years of experience that I was given, and you know, really thanks in most part to my parents for supporting me and making it affordable for me to do that. So yeah, it's been a wonderful career. But I was just going to, you mentioned Mike Janey. Mike was a great friend. He graduated from Cathedral with us, year or two ahead of us. But who else do you remember from the band days with the Deutschmeisters?
Oh, boy.
You remember Ray Dahlman?
Oh, yeah. You know, I wrote Ray down, and I had a question mark. And just before you called, I got his last name.
But okay.
For some reason. And Ray had the habit of, and he never swore.
No.
But he would say, "By the damn."
Yeah. Oh, they were great personalities. How about Bob Tomporowski?
And boy, yeah, Bob. I wrote down Tomporowski. I couldn't think of his first name. Bob,
Yeah.
You know, I had the pleasure. Well, it's unfortunate to even have to say that. You probably knew Ollie Kerbin.
Yes, I knew.
I did.
Yeah.
I got to play with him one time, and he was in his 60s.
Yeah.
Declining? He had a hard time, you know.
Yeah.
I think because, you know, I'm in that stage of my life, too, you know, where if you're not playing a lot, you're losing your lip, you know. It breaks my heart, but, yeah, because I always heard all the stories. He was probably better than me. He was a great trumpet player.
Yes.
And the day they pulled him in, you know, they needed somebody, and he came playing with us, and towards the middle, the end of the night, he was having trouble just getting the notes out. And I don't think he threw his horn, but I know he felt like it. You know, he was really upset.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that in my own stage of my life. Eight years or so ago, I was still playing at some nursing homes and stuff. I was doing a one-man band thing, and my lip was in pretty darn good shape. But I let it slip this last couple of years, and I got my horn refurbished, and it's looking brand new. And I'm thinking I either have to get myself to start playing it again, or I got to get rid of it. I'm trying to, like you said, I'm going to give it a push and see what I can do, because I started out when I was a kid playing in church, and I'm thinking I want to maybe, if possible, you know, still do that.
Yeah.
And if some polka band calls me up to play, that I could jump in there and do it.
Yeah, really true. And the experience you gained, it'll come back to you so quickly if you do get the opportunity. So other players, who were the tuba players you played with? Probably Dave Pieringer?
Dave Pieringer. Quite a bit. And Bob, there was a Bob something.
Oh, Bob Nathy?
Bob Nathan. Yeah, there you go.
Yep, yeah, Bob Nathy.
Bob was, I hated to see him go, because he was really good.
Yes, he was a card.
What was the younger kid name? What was his name?
Dave Pieringer or?
Dave Pieringer. Dave Pieringer.
Yep.
Yeah. He was known to fall asleep sometimes. I think I heard the same stories about Bob.
Okay. Yeah. Those were great people. And you were part of that. Was it 25th anniversary at the Delwyn Ballroom in St. Joe?
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah, that was a fun time.
Yeah, I didn't get to that. You know, we had our daughter Tammy, and we were having some struggles there, so we didn't do a lot of activities and stuff. But I remember my dad was there, and he filmed it, and my brother Paul was part of the band at that time, and I know you were there, and a lot of the Deutschmeisters from over the years came back, you know, some of the Rassiers that were part of it, and there was a lot of good names, a lot of good people that played with the Deutschmeisters over those years.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember one young man that I played several years with, and the same time that, like, Rick Rassier was playing He was like partial Asian, and I can't think of it. He was a really great clarinet player.
Oh, okay. That one doesn't ring a bell with me. I don't remember that one. I never worked with that one anyway, but
I was trying to think of names, and his didn't come up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
After we hang up, I'll remember.
There you go. Well, Tom, our time has run down quite far already. So, but I usually ask everybody about this time of the program. There's one special memory as you think back over the years. Was there a special one, good, bad, or otherwise, that you remember, either with the Deutschmeisters or even in school or any? What stands out in your mind? A memory that you want to share with the listeners?
Okay. Well, I guess I'm looking at. I wrote a little list here of stuff, but. I'd have to say our trips down to Rochester.
Oh, yes.
We'd play down in Rochester, and it was standard procedure. We would stop in Pine Island for supper.
Yep.
And we even had, I remember a time when we were headed down there, and we hit a deer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Tony Gowie's got his cars from Crestbox.
Yeah.
And he called them up, and they drove another vehicle down for him to switch out.
Oh, my gosh.
And we still made it.
And made it on time.
And then we maybe didn't get to stop. We might not have got to stop at Pine Island for supper that night. But there was one of the first times I was playing with the band going down there. And they said, you know, you guys want some dessert? And I was like, I'll have some, pecan pie.
Okay.
Pecan pie. And every time from that point on, when we went down there and ate, and we'd be having the meal, and Betty would say, Tom, don't forget to have that pecan pie.
Oh, yes.
And it got to that point where it's not my favorite pie anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You have such gratitude for them to splurge on a meal for you and all that. You know, I mean, you know, that took something out of their livelihood too. You know, to pay that for
right.
I don't know what you know how their finances went and whatnot, but that I just had that gratitude that they were giving it away or you know just treating you. And it's like, you know, she wants me to have that pecan pie. I'm gonna have it every
there
time.
There you go.
It was important for her at that point.
Well, very good. Very good. That's wonderful. Well, our time has run out then, so want to take this opportunity to thank you, Tom, for joining us. It's been really fun to reminisce again. And, like we had wanted to do, we did remember Betty passing away on the 23rd of May, 2008. Wonderful lady. Certainly made her mark on music in central Minnesota and beyond. And like I tell everybody, the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road. We'll do it again sometime. How's that?
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to playing some polkas in heaven.
There you go. That sounds great. Well, with that, I'll talk to you off the air in just a minute. But have a great afternoon, Tom.
Super. Same to you and all your folks listening.
There you go. All righty. And there he goes, Tom Merton, our 553rd guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Deutschmeisters in just moments. Thank you. Larry Razavian is Out of Town Checks wrapping up right there. Our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 553rd edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. Tom Merton, our guest, long-time great trumpet player with the Deutschmeisters. And, yeah, I got to play with Tom growing up in grade school, high school, and then in the Deutschmeister band. So lots of great memories we have. We were good friends from the start and still are, and it'll be good to see Tom again, maybe get together next week the way it sounds. So we're going to start out music right now with the Deutschmeisters, songs that Tom would have played with the Deutschmeisters back in the days. One that they did quite frequently, this was one called the Minneapolis Polka. Concertina solo there with the Minneapolis Polka, the Deutschmeisters, and that was either Arnie or Butch on the concertina. I never can tell them apart. One of them doing the solo there on the Minneapolis Polka. 26 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature of 70 degrees here in central Minnesota. Well, the Deutschmeisters were a very organized band, and they usually started out with a set of waltzes to start the evening, 9-to-1 dance job. And it was usually the Chicago Waltz, the Little Fisherman's Waltz, and the St. Paul Waltz. Here's the Deutschmeisters with the Chicago Waltz. The Deutschmeisters with the Chicago Waltz. And boy, played that one many times with the Deutschmeisters. And I'm sure Tom remembers playing that one to start the evening as well. 29 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading is 70 degrees here in central Minnesota in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And that is brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota, and now St. Joe as well. Memorial Day weekend greetings to everyone from Jeannie B's Tours. Summer outings are well underway and filling fast, so now is the time to call Jeannie B's office to reserve your seats on the Come Alive in 2025 Fun Adventure Tours. When you call 320-345-1581, Jeannie B's staff will answer your questions and book your destinations. You can choose a one-day boat cruise on Gull Lake or the St. Croix, or enjoy the always entertaining Jasper's Theater musical shows. Minications include Up the North Shore, Duluth to Grand Marais, and Northwoods Escape Days. That includes Jasper's, Itasca Park, Gull Lake Cruise, and lodging at Northern Lights Casino. The Apostle Islands, Celebration Mississippi River Cruise, and Galena, Illinois, and the awesome Medora Memories and Musical are enjoyable itineraries. Extended vacations include the Colors of the Smoky Mountains, departing October 18th, and it's filling fast. Register ASAP. On November 16th, the Jeannie B's tour will take you on the holiday highlights of Branson Christmas and Christmas at the Ark Encounter Tour. This tour includes a jam-packed itinerary of 6 shows, sightseeing of the Branson's hidden gems, 16 meals, all admissions on the itinerary, and so much more. Reservations for Jeannie B's 2026 extended flyout tours are filling for Alaska, Germany, Ireland, Fall, New England, Canadian Rockies and Glacier Park, Hawaii, Panama Canal Cruise, Iceland, and Washington, D.C. Jeannie wants you to know that she will gladly help you and your family and friends plan your group's dream destination. Just dial 320-345-1581. And remember, seeing is believing. And that's all for you from Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport and now St. Joe, Minnesota. You bet. Great traveling fun group. Jeannie B's Tours bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Time running short. We got to squeeze in a couple more selections here. Here's another standard by the Deutschmeisters called The Fat Man's Polka. Oh, great polka tune there by the Deutschmeisters. One's called the Fat Man Polka. And yeah, they were a fun group to play with and go out to and dance to for many years throughout central Minnesota. Played all of the ballrooms throughout central Minnesota and beyond. Right now it's waltz time. Here's one that Tom talked about in the interview. One called the St. Paul Waltz. Hey. The Deutschmeister is one of the three songs that they'd always start the evening with. That one, the St. Paul Waltz. 24 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, temperature reading of 70 degrees here in central Minnesota in the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers that is located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. The Hustler, the original zero-turn lawnmower, and it helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin has a nice inventory of brand-new Hustlers on hand. Had a chance to visit with Kevin this week, and Kevin said, something's really working, Si, because you know what? I'm running about three weeks behind on repairs, yes. And so Kevin does repair work on all makes and models, but folks have been bombarding Kevin, and the word is getting out that he is the place to go to get your machine repaired and up and running for the coming lawn cutting season. Kevin can change your lubricants, belts, and hoses, sharpen your blades. Kevin also accepts trades. He'll make you a sweet deal on your present lawnmower. For more information, you want to give Kevin a call at 320-363-7459. Now, Kevin also carries that Eagle brand 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment, handheld blowers, backpack blowers, chainsaws and pole saws, self-propelled lawnmowers, and more, all powered by that 56-volt lithium battery. Again, just give Kevin a call. Make sure that he's there, 320-363-7459. Had a chance to use my pole saw this week, trimmed some of the trees. Boy, that thing works really slick, and it's got power, 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment there. Kevin's Countryside bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 23 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, 70 our temperature here in Albany. Well, we talked about Betty and that... It's been now, 17 years since she left us. She had a great, vibrant singing voice. Here she is with one called Johnny's Knocking. The Deutschmeisters with Johnny's Knocking Polka, and that from their 1969 Peanuts recording. Time for just a couple more selections. Right now, here was my dad's favorite song to play with the Deutschmeisters over the years from their No Beer in Heaven recording from 2007. It's the Schneider Polka. Great recording there by the Deutschmeisters, the Schneider Polka. 18 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And this was the song that usually ended the evening for the Deutschmeisters all the time. Tony would say, it's team time. The Deutschmeisters with the song that they wrapped up every dance job with every evening, one called Team Time, and the Deutschmeisters. Coming up on 15 minutes now before the hour 1 o'clock, and we have a temperature reading of 70 degrees here in central Minnesota.